I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Okay, here we go. Any? How would that work? Is that working now? Are we good now? You can hear me. I'm sorry about that. Hey, Patriots, I'm so glad to see you. I'm Melissa Redpill. We are looking at the current events in the light of God's Word. Give me the thumbs up if you guys can hear me. Sorry about that. So you never know when something's going to, it's working and then it won't work. Yay. So yeah, this is a really amazing day that we are living in. I really do believe that President Trump's all these water fountains that are being opened is a symbol of the healing. And I'm going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about Ezekiel. We very rarely even crack open the book of Ezekiel, but there is one famous passage that we've read many times from Ezekiel. But today I want to take you to the end of Ezekiel. And it's because I was really encouraged when I was listening to the America Reads the Bible and they were reading through Ezekiel. And I said, we've got to at least do the last portion of Ezekiel because it's really for us talking about this day when we will see the golden age coming upon us and his kingdom come, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what this channel is all about. I'm Melissa Redpill. We look at the current events in the light of God's word. If you're not familiar, and I haven't pulled it up, let me pull it up real quick. You can type melissaredpill.com, melissaredpill.com, and you can see my channel right there. I think you'll really enjoy it. Let me move it over so you can actually see that. My name, MelissaRedpill.com, and I have tons of resources over there for you, specifically about how this is biblical. When you click on the menu, you'll see end times information. It's the end times for the bad guys. That's what we didn't know, but now we do. That's the end times for them, and it's 1,000 years of peace for us and health and wealth and peace. So Ezekiel really was trying to tell us that. And so now that we understand what's going on, it really helps us, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Now, so everything's good? Yay! I'm so glad. I'm so glad you gave me the heads up, and it was not working. So this is one of the things that President Trump just talked about this week, and I wanted to make sure that you saw this. Again, this is what Ezekiel is going to be really telling us about. And look at this, the golden age of cures. Here we come. I'm ready. I know you guys are too. I'm ready. I've been ready. FDA has just approved a new drug from Regeneron called Otarmeni, a gene therapy curing a rare disease causing deafness. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. It's going to be a fountain of healing all over the world. Here, with us is 2-year-old Travis Smith. He was born deaf. He took his miracle cure, and now he can hear his mom, Sierra, say, "I love you." Oh my goodness, isn't that beautiful? Check it out. I love him so much. Check it out.
Today, I'm also announcing that the FDA has just approved a new drug from Regeneron called Otarmeni, a gene therapy curing a rare disease that causes deafness. People are totally deaf, and it's amazing. I've seen some work on it. It's actually hard to believe. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Normally, cures for rare diseases can cost millions of dollars, and really the results aren't that good. But in this case, I'm pleased to say that Regeneron will be giving this away for free for this period of time, for free. And here with us is 2-year-old Travis Smith. He was born deaf. Was he totally deaf?
Pretty much, right?
This is 100%. He was 100% deaf, but he took this miracle cure, and now he can hear his mom, Sierra, say, "I love you." Today, I'm also announcing that the FDA has just approved.
Yes. Oh, it's just so beautiful. Get ready. It's going to be so wonderful. It's going to be so wonderful. And I don't know if I was going to really plan on talking about this today, but there's the Ibogaine. I'm going to probably be talking about that tomorrow on the show, is all these different things that he has been releasing. I just think there was something very interesting that happened with that storm, that terrible killer tornado, but no fatalities, none. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. And it talks about in Zephaniah, you know, we'll never again fear disaster. Isn't that amazing? I'm so, so thankful. All right. So now let's jump into Ezekiel. The first thing I want to do is take you on, which is a really cool feature for on BibleGateway.com, that it gives you a summary of what is in the book of Ezekiel. We're not going to start at the beginning. We're going to start right here at the good part. We're going to go to the end where it talks about the good stuff. And where it's basically chapter 43, where it talks about the Lord's glory returns. The Lord's glory returns to the altar. And so this is really about the return of the Lord, where he takes his position as the king and rules this world. And that's what the promise is all throughout the Bible. So, you know, that's just such a blessing that they've been reading the Bible day after day after day. And today they'll finish at 9 p.m. or thereabouts Eastern time. So yeah, okay, there was that. That starts, we're going to talk about that in chapter 43. Then 44, I'm talking about the princes, the prince and the Levites and the priests. So this dual role, as we know, Jesus is our king and our priest, okay? So he has that dual role. So forget the separation of church and state. He is the king and the priest. He is both. He brings the two together. And so I understand in our country, we don't want to have the government, you know, forcing people to do certain things. But the point, as far as, you know, following a certain religion, but the point is, in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about this role being run properly, and the Levites and the priests and being used in their right positions. Because unfortunately, the church has been hijacked. We know that, and it's been infiltrated and being used for evil. Like, case in point is President Trump going on about responding to the Pope, and he has higher numbers, approval numbers, than the Pope now, because everybody realizes the Pope is not thinking clearly and likely is controlled. And so he's saying, "Oh, you can't ever go against someone who's doing this evil. Are you crazy?" I mean, you know, everybody can see through it. So it's really, really great. So first, I just posted that video of President Trump in the Pope outfit doing the little dance. Really great to see that people are seeing through this, because there's been a huge brainwashing on the religious institutions to just believe whatever the people at the top say. Anyway, we'll get to that in 44. And then 45, the division of the land. And that's really where it goes into Gesara. This whole video is talking about the Gesara clues and how we've been told that we will have, you know, our taxes will be ended, all this debt will be canceled, all the restoration of the things that belong to us that were stolen from us. That's really what it talks about in the division of the land and how things will be set right so that the government won't be hoarding the land and taking the things from the people. And it's really not the government. It's the criminals that run the government, right? And then 46, the temple kitchens, how that is run. 47, the river of healing, like I was saying with the little boy having his hearing and so many of the cures that are being released. I know they don't like to use that word, but that's what President Trump called it, okay? And so also the division of the land and the gates of the city. So let's jump in here and see. If you like this type of content, if you like to see how it's all connected, then make sure you give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure your bell is rung so you'll be notified when we send out a video. And it's very, very good news. It's the biggest news, really. And 17 told us, big, bigger, biggest. Think biggest. This is what I'm so thankful to be able to connect, not just the political dots, but to connect how it's biblical and very exciting news for everyone. So to stay encouraged and just trust the plan because it's the Lord's plan. All right. So here is where we're going to start. If I have it highlighted, I had it. And so let's see if I can go back. All right. So this is talking about the restoration of Israel, and don't think of a little land in the Middle East or a little group of people. Remember, these are God's people that were scattered because of their sin. If you've been listening to them read the Bible through, you would have heard, and you've heard from me, specifically like Deuteronomy chapter 29 and 30, how the Lord said, through Moses, that if they did this evil and they worshiped these false gods, that they would end up being scattered. And that's exactly what happened. And it was not for evil, but the Lord did it for good to keep us away from these ones that led us into evil, right? And so that's, you know, the restoration is where we are brought back and no longer are we under this exile or under this punishment, but we are restored to the Lord and the enemies will be cast out so that we can have some peace around this place. All right. Son of man, prophesy to Israel's mountains. Give them this message. O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Your enemies have taunted you, saying, aha, now the ancient heights belong to us. Therefore, son of man, give the mountains of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. Your enemies have attacked you from all directions, making you the property of many nations and the object of much mocking and slander. Can I get an amen? Isn't that the truth? Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the sovereign Lord. He speaks to the mountains, the hills and the ravines and valleys, and to ruined wastelands and long deserted cities that have been destroyed and mocked by the surrounding nations. This is what the Lord says. My jealous anger burns against these nations, especially Edom. Remember, Edom is the twin brother, named after family of Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, the evil twin brother. Because they've shown their utter contempt for me, gleefully taking my land for themselves as plunder. Okay, so this is, you know, we've been the plunder. It's not just the land, we've been the plunder. And then we scroll down. We don't have a whole lot of time today. I've got something I've got to do after this, but I'm going to just give you just a little summary so then maybe you guys can go back and really read it in more depth and enjoy it. It says, therefore, give the people of Israel this message. I'm bringing you back. But not because you deserve it. I'm doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. And some people say, "Oh, the Lord is angry with America because, because of the evil that has happened here." Well, whether people have honored the Lord or not honored the Lord, He's doing this for His namesake, just like it says right here. I will show you how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, then the nations will know that I am the Lord. I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to your land. Again, it's not about everybody in the world going to live in a little postage stamp in the Middle East. It's about all of us having our own land. In Venezuela, you'll have your own land back. Iran will have their land. North Korea and Gaza. All the places will have their land and the people will be able to live in peace and safety in their own land. How about that? Yes, the great covenant that the Lord has made with Israel, and we are the benefactors. We are the benefit from that. Okay, so there's that one. And then chapter 37, which you guys are very familiar with. I'm not going to go into detail because we have whole videos on this chapter. But this is basically the prophecy about the Great Awakening that you and I are, again, the benefactors of. We have been tapped on the shoulder, on the heart, in the mind by the Lord. And even though we were just as good as dead, dead, dry bones, the Lord revived us and awakened us. Just like you remember that story, the Lord took hold of me. I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with thorns. All of humanity was down for the count, but none anymore. Than he asked, Son of Man, can these bones become living people again? He says, you alone know. Lord only knows, can this happen? Only the Lord could do such a thing. And he said for him to speak a prophetic message, and that's exactly what he did. And the Lord put breath into them and made them live again. That's what happened to you. You're alive again. You're back alive from the dead. You're awake now, and you know what's going on, and so you can fight, fight, fight. And if you scrolled a little farther down, he says, okay, now there was no breath in them, okay? He says, speak a prophetic message to the winds. Speak a prophetic message, say, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke, and as he commanded, the breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood on their feet, a great army. A great army. Yay! That's us. That's the Freedom Force Battalion. That's us, the Freedom Force Battalion. I just love it. I'm so thankful that we are so blessed of the Lord to be this great army that he has raised up. Pinch yourself right now. Yes, 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 LDN 69 says, Son of Man, these bones represent the people of Israel. Old dry bones, our hope is gone. But the Lord says, I will open your graves and cause you to rise again, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Again, land of freedom, a land of milk and honey, a land where wherever you live is going to be blessed. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. Amen. All right, so that was 37. Now, let's fast forward to 43. This is where it says the Lord's glory returns. Chapter 43, after this, the man brought me back around to the east gateway. Suddenly, the glory of the Lord of Israel, of God of Israel, appeared from the east. The sound of his coming was like the roar of rushing waters, and the whole landscape shone with his glory. This vision was just like the others I had seen, first by the Kibar River, and then when he came to destroy Jerusalem. I fell face down on the ground, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple through the east gateway. This is a picture of what is happening all over the world. The only reason that any of us is awake and able to fight and be able to win these victories is thank you. I'm so thankful to be winning finally. Anybody else very, very thankful to be winning? But it's the only reason is because of the glory of the Lord. It's time. It's finally, finally time for winning. Like President Trump said, you'll get tired of winning. Not tired of winning. Anybody here tired of winning? Not me. I'm not tired of winning at all. All right, and it's because of the glory of the Lord. So he is coming to fill this earth with his glory. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. So yeah, so that's what's in that chapter. Thankfully, because of that, then the rest of the chapters, we're going to see how everything is going to be set right, from the government to the church, the religious institutions, to the just everything being set perfectly. The Lord said, Son of Man, this is the place of my throne and the place where I will rest my feet. I will live here forever among the people. How about that? If you're not familiar with my book, The Golden Age, I break down all of these verses, not all of them, but a lot of them, that for each of the blessings that we're going to have, the peace, the health, the wealth, the unity, the even entertainment and beauty, just like what's going on in Washington, D.C. I can't wait to go for the Jubilee. I hope you guys are going on May 17th for the Jubilee. It looks like it's going to be so beautiful. It's so nice to see things beautiful. Everything was so run down and so, it was like hell. I just can't stand it when things are so ugly and worn down, and, you know, I just love things that are beautiful. And so, yeah, all these things are set in the right way for the Golden Age. The health, just it's so beautiful. I will live here forever among my people. Yes, they and their kings will not defile my holy name nor any longer by their adulterous worship of other gods or by honoring the relics of their kings who have died. In other words, all these what they've led us into, which was demonic worship, this is no more. This is no more for the golden age. And it's very much like, you know, how we were, if husband and I were talking this morning about toxins and how, we've just got to be very, very careful that we make sure that we're safe from all these toxins. And that's really a demonic worship, where they would have you eat things that are Lord only knows what, right? No telling what. All of that will be cleansed. All of that will be gone. That's part of their demonic worship. The shows that lead people into perversion and to confusion, that has been part of their demonic worship. I mean, everything, the schools where they are brainwashing the children, everything has been part of their demonic worship, but no more. No more of this defiling. Okay, so that is 43. And then 44, it says, let me see if I had it highlighted, made it smaller. I'll just do it this way. In 44, the man brought me back to the east gate in the outward wall of the temple area, but it was closed. And the Lord said, this gate must remain closed. It will never be open again, be open. No one will open it or pass through, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered here. Therefore, it must always remain shut. Only the prince himself may sit inside this gateway to feast in the Lord's presence. He may come and go through this entry room of the gateway. It is like the image of, you know, make way for the Lord, make the entryway open for the Lord to come through, for the Lord to return, for the Lord to be running this world. No one else get in the way. This is not for everybody. This is not for the common people. This is for the Lord to come through. We don't want anything to stomp, prevent his way. And so he says, the man brought me through the north gateway to the front of the temple. I looked and I saw the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and I fell face down on the ground, just like we were reading the other day from Revelation 11, verse 13. And with the 24 elders, they bowed and they fell to the face ground on their faces on the ground, saying, thank you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is, one who was, who always has been, because you finally assumed your role and have come to reign. This is why we fall face down, because we're like, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're finally here to rule this place, because it was horrible without you ruling this place. And I get it. Amen. It's just been horrible. It's been horrible. All right. So the Lord says, son of man, take careful notice. Use your eyes and your ears and listen to everything I tell you about the regulations concerning this temple. Take carefully note the procedures. So all these things will be set right. Again, the last few chapters of the book of Ezekiel are talking about, and I'm not going to go into all the detail, but there, I might have to write a book about Ezekiel. But anyway, it's talking about how each of the, each thing will be set right. That is what is crucially important for the Lord to come in his glory and set everything right. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it worldwide. It's really hard to keep up. I don't think any of us have, but you know, on my social media, if you're not familiar with my social media, go right here and you'll see the social media, and you can follow over on the social media, on the Telegram and on X. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And I don't post near as everything I see, but I want to make sure that you guys have, you know, the main things that are happening. It's really impossible. It is impossible to keep up. All right. So this is what the Lord is doing, is to set these things right with the prince and the Levites. Now, there's something I wanted to show you about I'll show it in chapter 46. All right. So the next one is really this, I think, goes to Gesara and why I was talking about Gesara clues. And I want you to see in chapter 45 that things are going to be set right as far as what you are able to own. Remember how they said you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. No, that's not what it's going to be. The golden age is where we will have ownership. We will have in my chapter on abundance in the golden age book, the chapter on abundance talks about how you will have plenty and have left over. It says the you know, the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. In other words, your bank account will fill up with money before you can even spend it. It's going to be where you actually own things. You actually have an ownership. And so no more are they going to have confiscatory taxes. No more are they going to take everything that we have. And this is in the book of Joel and Habakkuk talking about this. No more are they going to do that. We're going to loot their silver and plunder their gold. They will no longer loot our silver and plunder our gold. And so in verse chapter 45 of the book of Ezekiel, it says, when you divide the land among the tribes of Israel, you must set aside a section for the Lord as his holy portion. This piece of land will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. So really it's not about the miles as much as it is about a percentage. And so that's, they have taken way too much for themselves. They've taken a lot of the things that should have been parceled for the people, and they've taken it for themselves. And this lays out how it should be apportioned properly. That's the whole point of this chapter, is where it's everything has its own purpose. The religious institutions have their purpose. The government has its purpose, and then the land for the people has its purpose. And you can't have it all skewed one way or the other. Does that make sense? And I think that's really what they're trying to get to in, you know, what the Lord is telling us in this chapter, is to everything being set right and portioned properly. Does that make sense? Yes, Nasara Kassara, sounds wonderful. All this sounds wonderful. The healing, the wealth, the abundance, all this. Okay, so they've got a portion set aside for the worship. The entire area will be holy. A section of this land measuring 875 feet by 835 feet will be set aside for the temple. An additional strip of land 87.5 feet wide is to be left empty all around it. So kind of like, okay, this is separate. This is a separate area where we go and we worship the Lord. And so, you know, we will have the worship in the golden age. And I believe everyone, it clearly says in the Bible that everyone will worship the Lord. And they might have maybe a little different. Some people use more candles and some people use more glass architecture, you know, artwork and that type of thing. But it's all going to be focused on the Lord. Some people do more of the singing. Some people do more of the preaching. Either way, it's all going to be worshiping Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. I don't care whether it's Islam or Judaism or whatever it is. It'll all be pointing and recognizing that Jesus is the ruler, the king of the world. So that's where we're getting. So much like that Samaritan woman said, we know when the Messiah returns, he will disclose all these things to us, right? Now, so this is the holy place. Within the sanctuary, the most holy place will be located. This area will be wholly set aside for the priests who minister in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes, and my temple will be located within it. All right, so there's that sacred portion right there. And then two special sections of the land will be set aside for the prince. One section will share a border with the east side of the sacred lands and city, and the second section will be share a border on the west side. So what is this saying? Is that instead of it being separate, the church and the state are not separate. They're joined at the hip. They're joined side by side. They have different purposes, different roles, and these are in the book of Revelation chapter 11. These are the two witnesses. These are the two that stand to bring unity and justice and peace in the world. And they should be in lockstep, even though they have different roles. And so, yeah, that's a different thing we're going to be having in the, you know, we're not going to have the ACLU running all this anymore. Praise the Lord. All right, so this is where it talks about the sections of the land, two sections for the government. Then my princes will no longer oppress and rob my people. Yes, they will assign the rest of the land to the people, giving an allotment to each tribe. So they get, the whole point is that they get a certain section cordoned off, just a small section for these purposes, for the church and the state. But the lion's share goes to the people. That is the heart of Gesara, is that there be equity for the people. All right, so if we scroll a little farther down, it talks about, yes, it does talk about giving, you know, taxes to help to cover all the expenses of all these things. But it talks about a little farther down, see, about the land that is, you know, just everything else. Bottom line, everything else, they will assign the rest to the people. Okay. It's not that we have a little portion carved out. Okay. You can have that. And the rest is for us, for the government and the religion, because the government and the religious institutions are created, as our Lord Jesus said, for the people. They were created for the people, not the other which way around. And that's the whole point of Gasara, is that no more are we going to have these taxes just eating up our substance. Praise the Lord. All right, so I want you to see that. And so if you want to research more into that, go into look at Ezekiel chapter 45, the division of the land. Is that making sense now, everybody? So I hope that this is, you know, these chapters, I think, that were so hidden from us, now we realize, you know, really what the point was and why the Lord had this here, and why they're placed in the end of the book of Ezekiel, because he was telling us that this day would come when things would be done like he wants, that this day was coming. All right, so the next one is on chapter 46. This one's a really cool one. This in Ezekiel chapter 46, it's talking about this very strange thing about the prince going into the worship. Okay, so he's the king, and clearly it's not separation of church and state. So he comes into worship, and then he goes out the same door he came in. Why? What is that about? It's symbolic for something. What is that for? And then the people, though, they go in one way and they go out the other. Okay, what are you saying? Okay, so I'm going to read to you what it says, and then we'll talk about what it means. All right, chapter 46. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The east gateway of the inner courtyard will be closed during the 6 work days each week and the days of the new moon celebrations. All right, so that's but it will be open and the Sabbath days and the days of the new moon celebrations. I'm sorry, I messed that up. Let me try that again. The east gateway of the inner courtyard will be closed during 6 work days each week, but it will be open on Sabbath days and the days of the new moon celebrations. All right. This is so different from what we have ever really heard about. We never really talk about new moon celebrations. What is the whole point of a new moon celebration? It sounds kind of eerie. Like, why is that? The reason for that is because we should be running our calendar on months, on moons, on the new moon. I'm telling you one thing, now that I follow the Hebrew calendar and I see what's going on, like we're doing the festival of the Omer, we do the Passover, we see how so many things that happen are according to the lunar calendar. And it really makes sense. It really is more stabilizing, because as you get a moon and the full moon and the next new moon, it all makes you feel like you're part of God's creation, and that this is how he set it up so that we would all be on the same page, not some Gregorian calendar that makes absolutely no sense. All these things were set up for us to help us to be aware of what's going on, to know, you know, when to plant, know when to, you know, certain things would happen. And it said in the Word of God that they would try to take away the festivals and the new moon celebrations, and they did. They did this on purpose to get us to where we didn't really understand our surroundings. I'll tell you this, if you follow the moon, and it'll open your eyes to a lot of things. And that NASA is fake. Let's just put it that way. All right. So yeah, he's saying that the gateway to the inner courtyard will be closed during the 6 work days. So, you know, again, the worship is not to be where we are mandated to. It's not an onerous thing. It's something to as a benefit to us. It's not a law to put us to tie us down and to make things harder for us. It's something to go and to enjoy and to enjoy the worship of the Lord, and not to be where, you know, you are on top of all that you have to do, that you have one more thing to do. Okay, that's not what the Lord is wanting at all. So he says here, the prince will enter. Again, the prince is being very much a part of the religious institutions, again, church and state joined together at the hip. The prince will enter the room of the gateway from the outside, and then he will stand by the gatepost while the priest offers his burnt offering and peace offering. Now, I will just say this. There's not going to be you know, lambs, you know, burnt offering, that type of thing. That's not what this is talking about. It's saying, though, that, you know, there will be worship. And of course, our Lord Jesus is the offering for sin. He has died once for all. He'll never die again. And so, and everyone will recognize that he did all this for us. He bought all this for us with his own blood. The only reason that he has the right to take us back from being captive in Satan's camp and translate us into his kingdom is because he died and he paid the price for us. He paid the price with his own blood. And so, yes, we will continually forever into eternity recognize that he's the one who set us free from these dark forces, right? So there's going to be this this offering and this thanksgiving to the Lord for that. And I really do like that on this, the Bible reading, the America Reads the Bible, they have had giant swaths of the Bible read, and then at certain portions, they will stop and they'll do a song and just giving thanks to the Lord, because it's because of him that we have any of this, that we understand any of this. If it was up to the enemy, he would have us where we wouldn't know what's going on. He would have us so confused, and we know that. That's exactly what they do. Just confusion. And that's exactly why so many people are still so brainwashed. So just, you know, just have, you know, mercy and pity on them until the Lord awakens them. All right. Now it says he will bow down and worship inside the gateway passage and then go back out the way he came. I love that. The prince worshiping. All of the rulers worshiping the Lord. I am loving how Pete Hegseth is giving honor to the Lord. It's making the lefties shriek. It's making the cabal mouthpieces shriek. They absolutely hate it that he is giving honor to the Lord and that the Lord is the one who's in control of the military and that they are working on his behalf to bring justice in this world. They absolutely hate that. So keep it going, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of War. Amazing. So all these, RFK, saying he had prayed for years so that he could be in a position to help to provide the way for people to get well. Beautiful. I'm having to parse my words. Can y'all tell? It's on YouTube land. Hey, YouTubers. So yeah, this is, I'm trying to be careful because I know how it is over there. Anyway, how they'll control what I say. All right. So all of the people will be using their positions for God's glory and for the good of the people. As it says in Revelation chapter 20, it says that the righteous will rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, after the 1,000 years, if you're not familiar with what I talk about, don't freak out. It's not like, oh no, it's over after 1,000 years. No, after the 1,000 years, it gets even better. After the 1,000 years, in this book, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace, I talk about how after the 1,000 years, then death is conquered. Because during the millennial kingdom, there will still be death. After 1,000 years, there's the final battle of Gog and Magog, and no more death after that. So anyway, that's not what this video is about. But I just want to answer that question so you don't go, what? Are we going to end after 1,000 years? All right, so then the gateway will not be closed until evening. So what is that about? He will go in, but he will go back out the way he came. What is that about? And so I'm going to show you this. I thought this was super cool. It says here, the symbolism in Ezekiel 46, where the prince enters and leaves via the eastern gateway, signifies the unwavering, focused mission of the Messianic king. The exclusivity of access to God's holiness and a model of direct, obedient worship. It reflects the return of divine glory to the temple. Key symbolic indicators include messianic focus, but many commentators interpret the prince as representing Christ, who, unlike the common people who pass through, his unique access to the east gate, the way of glory. Unwavering mission, yes. Leaving by the same gate signifies that Christ's mission is direct, focused, and purposeful. He does not deviate. He came in to do a certain job. That's exactly what he's going to do. Worshipful order, the strict instructions signify order, obedience, and reverence in the presence of God. Covenantal fidelity, as the east gate was where God's glory returned to the temple, the prince's exclusive use of this entry emphasizes his role as the mediator of this covenant. Remember how I was saying, we'll talk, back in chapter 43, how the glory returned, right? And I was saying, you know, we'd talk about this more in 46. Well, this is the prince has this exclusive right to use this door And he's the only one, of course, our Lord Jesus, who can come in to set all these things right. He is the mediator of all of this, this covenant, this promise that God made to us to set everything right. And he is the one who is doing it because of this great promise, this great covenant he made with humanity and with his people. Mediation, it reinforces that this leader operates as a mediator between God and the people and leading them in worship. I love that. Jesus is the king and priest. He's the religious leader and he's the political leader. He's both. He's everything. He's all of it. All right, so then a little farther down, though, in chapter 46, let me scroll down a little bit more. The prince enters through the entry room. He must leave the same way. But when the people come in through the north gateway to worship the Lord during the religious festivals, they leave by the south gateway. Again, all this is symbolic, right? It's not about a temple, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's about us. It's not about a building. It's not about, God doesn't dwell in a building made with hands. He dwells in us. Let's just listen to that this morning. They were reading that this morning on Read the Bible. Anyway, so that the people come in through the north gateway to worship the Lord during the religious festivals, they must leave by the south gateway. And those who enter through the south gateway must leave by the north gateway. They must never leave by the same gateway they came in, but must always use the opposite gateway. The prince will enter and leave with the people on these occasions. What is that about? It's where, when you listen to the word of God, you are changed. You don't leave the same way that you came in. And the word of God is powerful. It does not return void. It accomplishes the mission that the Lord intended for it, right? Amen? Exactly. Nothing can stop what the Lord is doing in your heart as you hear his word. That's why they do not want them people to read the word of God. They did not want this at all. We have this Bible museum now, and they're live streaming the word of God all week long. It has a huge effect. They've never wanted the word of God read in the schools because they know how powerful it is. We now had the ruling this week where the Ten Commandments can be placed in all of the schools. They had ACLU had come along and had stopped this from happening in the larger schools, but that got reversed this week. Yay. Praise the Lord. All right. So this is what in 46, this is where the word of God has this powerful effect. You enter one gate, leave by the opposite to symbolize spiritual transformation, ensuring they did not return to their old ways after encountering God. Amen. Amen. This practice promotes order, reverence, and a forward moving changed mindset rather than returning through the same entry. The symbol of transformation, spiritual continuity, orderliness, divine command. My time is running out, but I want you to see that. And then 47, this river of healing. Oh my goodness, I love chapter 47. In my vision, the man brought me to the entrance of the temple. I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right side of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gate and led me around to the eastern entrance. And I could see the water flowed through the south side of the east gateway. What is this talking about? And I've literally heard people talk about this being a physical, no, it's symbolic. It's spiritual. It's about the flowing from God's house, from the word of God. This having such a huge salvific effect. It's not a coincidence that President Trump is opening all these fountains right now and this huge reflecting pool. This is about the cleansing of the swamp. It's the cleansing of this evil from our land. Amazing. So yeah, and all this water flowing from the temple, from his people, from his word being poured out on this earth. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, and then he led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. And then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to cross. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. This is what we're going to have in the golden age. It's going to get better and better and better. The blessings and the healing will get deeper and deeper and deeper. Yay. The mental wellness, the physical wellness, the abundance, the unity are just going to get, like I said, in the book, The Golden Age, it's It's really very exciting. Very exciting, the times that we're coming up on. You can also listen to the audiobook on my website, melissaredpill.com, and you can listen. It's now actually on Audible, if you have Audible. All right. So, yeah, we're swimming. We'll be swimming in all the blessings. How about that? Love it. Okay, so that's 47. And then 40. Okay, it reminded me of Zephaniah. No, Zechariah. Zechariah is like the book of Revelation in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 13. On that day, a fountain will be opened for the dynasty of David and for the people of Jerusalem, a fountain to cleanse them from all their sins and impurity. Drain the swamp, cleansing us from anything that we have thought, anything that we have eaten, anything that we've drank, anything that we have, whatever, believed, anything will be cleansed. I really believe cancer will be no more. We're to be cleansed because we'll have good food and that really will help our bodies to be well. And that's why I talk a lot about over on my website. If you go to the detox page, freedomforce.live/detox, super important that you are detoxing. One day we won't have to, I don't think. But right now we have to because they are attacking us still big time. So yeah, come on, little computer. Anyway, so go on there and you can learn. And there's actually a special offer going on right now for the detox. All right, so he says, on that day, I'll erase the idol worship throughout the land so that even the names of the idols will be forgotten. Amen. I'll remove them from the land, both the false prophets and the spirit of impurity that came with them. If anyone continues to, okay, I'm not going to read all that detail, but yeah, I want you to see this cleansing will end it. End it where they don't rule over us anymore. And yeah, this is the one right here. If you go to freedomforce.live/detox and this one right here, that cleanses to the cellular level because each of us has unwittingly had these toxins enter into our body and to try to damage our temple. And so we got to make sure that we don't detox all that. And make sure, like the green juice, this is an amazing superfood. I do this. I put it into my smoothie. If you go and look at my smoothie, I put that and it's helped me so, so much because you know how much they've attacked me, you guys. But yeah, this is a beautiful thing that we're going to have our bodies running properly with good food. This is super juice, super green. And so, because none of us gets enough greens, let's just be honest. And so this way you get it's like a power pack of greens. So definitely check into that. I think they've got a special on that too. So there's a trial offer on that too. All right. So that's great. Okay. Yeah. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Yahweh's glory has risen on you. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples. But Yahweh will rise on you and his glory shall be seen on you. Nations will come to you, to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I'll make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. That's from the book. That's just some of the verses from the book, The Golden Age, right there. Okay, that was, yeah, scroll this. There, yeah, this is the book right here, Golden Age. I'll just pop that over into the chat. My time is out, you guys. I hope that you enjoyed that. I know that was short. I'll have more time tomorrow morning to have a longer video, and we'll be able to not be in such a rush, but I hope you enjoyed that. Here's the link right there, and grab this real quick, and I'll be on for just a second on the chat, but let's pray. Thank you again, Lord. We praise you that you have given all these your promises in your word, and now you have touched our hearts so that we understand what's going on, that this is the great day that we've been waiting for when everything will be set right. Thank you, Lord, that you are the mediator of this beautiful promise, this beautiful covenant that you have made to set things right. And we are the blessed of the Lord to live to see this day. Thank you, Lord, that you've awakened us. And what an honor. An honor. So many people still asleep, but you awakened us and helped us to be part of your great army that just like Ezekiel was talking about. Thank you, Lord, that you have will provide all of the healing that so much, not just to the ankles, not just to the knees, but all the way that we'll be able to swim through and just enjoy this beautiful day that is coming, the golden age that you have promised for us. We pray all this in your wonderful name and ask you to bless. Lord, I just ask you to touch the hearts of everyone on our channel. Let's continue to strengthen them, protect them, Lord. We know the enemy has come down in great wrath, knowing he has little time. I pray you just protect them, strengthen them, and don't let one hair of their head fall. I pray you'd help them to have their body strong, their mental health strong, everything. Just bless them in every way, their finances strong, everything that they need so that they can move into this glorious golden age that you have provided for us. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. I love you guys. I love you. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow, Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Okay, guys? And I will talk to you later.
He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.